Forget the pressure to overhaul your life. The new year doesn't need a new you. It needs you. Grounded, supported, and ready to grow. Grow Therapy helps you make meaningful change at your pace and on your time. Whether it's your first time in therapy or your 50th, Grow makes it easier to find a therapist who fits you, not the other way around. They connect you with thousands of independent, licensed therapists across the U.S., offering both virtual and in-person sessions, nights, and weekends. You can search by what matters, like insurance, specialty, identity, or availability, to get started in as little as 2 days. And if something comes up, you can cancel up to 24 hours in advance at no cost. There are no subscriptions and no long-term commitments. You just pay per session. Grow helps you find therapy on your time. Whatever challenges you're facing, Grow Therapy is here to help. Grow accepts over 100 insurance plans, including Medicaid, in some states. Sessions average about $21 with insurance, and some pay as little as $0, depending on their plan. Visit growtherapy.com/get started today to get started. That's growtherapy.com/get started. growtherapy.com/get started. Availability and coverage vary by state and insurance plan.
New year, same extra value meals at McDonald's. So now get 2 snack wraps plus fries and a medium soft drink for just $8.
For limited time only, prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher in Hawaii, Alaska, and California, and for delivery.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of Grey's Academy. Now, my name is Carmen, and my co-host Kelsey and I have been doing this show for well over a year now. This episode, A Hard Day's Night, that you're about to listen to, was our first ever episode that we released for this podcast on September 30th, 2021. Now, I'm coming at you live from November 21st, 2022, in the future, and I want you to know that this episode, while it's still really great, it's our most listened to, it's our most streamed episode, it's definitely different than where we're at today. And not in a bad way. It's just very much a structured, rigid feel to it. And we were still figuring out the voices and the personality that we wanted to show here in this podcast for you, our listeners. Now, I will tell you that over the last year, not only has this episode taken off, or this show taken off, rather, way more than we could have imagined, both domestically here in the United States, where we're from, but also internationally. And we get so many emails and so much outpouring of love, whether it's through our Patreon or whether it's through social media, and again, through our email address, which you will get in this show. We love to hear from our fans and our listeners. But one of the things that's constantly a bright spot is the personality that we let shine through. Now, Kelsey and I, if you'll hear this in the episode, but we're best friends. We've known each other for a long time. She is the godmother of my child, and I'm the godfather of her child, and my wife and her husband, the four of us have gone on our honeymoon together to Europe. Like, we know everything about each other, and it's a personality dynamic that I think comes through more once you, spoiler alert, meet Addison at the end of season one. We all know that moment. It's iconic, and for myself, getting to watch the show for the first time, I think that I allow myself especially to become more and more excited and filled with emotion when some of these plot twists and special guests come in and things like that. So just want to thank you all for listening. Now, if you've ever watched The Office, I would say this is kind of like the same thing, right? All of your friends who've watched The Office, so you got to skip to season 2 and season 3. They hit their stride and then come back and watch season 1, episode 1, and kind of figure out where they came from and how they evolved, right? It's the same thing here. We hit our stride really in, like I said, season 2, season 3 we're currently on. And it's just very exciting to be a part of this journey. It's very exciting to be a part of the Shondaland community and watch Grey's Anatomy for the first time. So again, thank you so much for sticking through and listening to us. We really appreciate everything that you, our listeners, and our fans bring us. And we hope that you enjoy the show. Thanks for sticking around. And don't forget to give a 5-star review and share this with your friends wherever you listen. Thank you so much, and we'll see you all in the episode.
Hello, and welcome to Grey's Academy.
I'm Carmen.
And I'm Kelsey.
And it is a beautiful day to podcast.
All right. So this is our very first episode of Grey's Academy. So just a little bit of an intro. My name is Kelsey. I have been watching Grey's Anatomy live since mid-season 3, but I have gone back and rewatched the entire series so many times. I truly don't know. I do know for a fact there's only one episode that I've only seen one time, and we'll get to that when we get to it. But other than that, I've seen them all more times than a person needs to see an episode of a show because I just love it. You're Carmen, yeah,
and I'm Carmen. I've seen Grey's, I almost said Grey's Academy. I've seen Grey's Anatomy zero times,
right? And ever. You know, I mean, what do you know about it? Obviously, now you've seen one episode, but outside of watching the first episode, what was your knowledge going in?
I knew so little about this show that when I saw Katherine Heigl, I went, Katherine Heigl.
Okay, so like that's pretty impressive truly, because the show has been on for, we're coming up on the 18th season. There are spoilers rife on the internet because it's one of the most viewed shows, so people are always posting about it. So it's impressive that you've managed to avoid so much of it.
I think so. I grew up watching Scrubs real time. Okay, so that was like the first Doctor show I ever watched. Then I watched House. Loved House.
I do love Doctor House.
Did you ever watch Royal Pains?
I did not.
Okay, that was a USA Network show. So, like, I am not opposed to Doctor shows. I just never... I think I always... So, like, now that I've watched the first episode of Grey's Anatomy, I don't know what I thought it was. I just thought it was, like, a Doctor version of a Mexican soap opera.
I will say... Of, like, all those other medical shows that you've just listed, it is definitely the soapiest, like, to use that soap opera term. Like, because House is a drama, but it's not, like, really intrapersonal, whereas this, like, has the, you know, the sexuals.
Which I was not mad about. Opening scene.
Yeah. So that's who we are. We came up with this idea because we were talking about other TV shows, and I was saying that people... like sometimes watch Grey's Anatomy because it's really dramatic and you're like, oh, at least my life, you know, doesn't involve me having bombs and something. And Carmen thought I was joking. And then I said, no, that really happened. And then he said, oh, then I'll watch Grey's Anatomy. And here we are. So we're going to journey through this together.
Any chance to document our stream of consciousness through the majesty of podcasting really is just something that I don't want to not take that opportunity to do. So
truly, truly. It is, I think it's just interesting because there's so much content that you're going to take in. And I was telling Michael, I was like, I think I'm going to have a hard time like speaking about the episodes that we're watching and not like letting my knowledge of what's to come like color what I'm going to say. And I'm like, have to not be like, oh, this and this and this are going to happen. I'm going to have to use the proper tense to make sure everyone is... current.
Well, and that's the thing. Okay, the only thing I know about the show is that apparently everyone dies. And whether or not that's true or not,
there are
people
who do die. It is a hospital. So, you know, sometimes in life people die. And no one's immortal except for me. So,
yeah, it's true.
I'm going to live forever. Okay, so first what we're going to do, we're obviously starting with season 1, episode 1, which is A Hard Day's Night. So before we get into this specific episode, I just want to say I wanted to read the Netflix synopsis for the entire show, the entire series. This is what Netflix gives us. Intern and eventual resident, Meredith Grey finds herself caught up in personal and professional passions with fellow doctors at a Seattle hospital. That's it. 17 seasons, and that's the synopsis on Netflix.
I didn't actually read that, so when I saw the Seattle Space Needle, I was like, oh, cool, Seattle. So
yeah,
I didn't even know it took place in Seattle.
I took that note. I was like, wow, these establishing shots, they really want you to know you're in Seattle. Okay, so this episode is called A Hard Day's Night. As you noticed, it is a Beatles song.
Beatles song, yes.
Every single episode, with the exception of one, the title is the title of a song.
Really?
So yeah, kind of how Friends is always like the one with or whatever. So that's kind of their thing, is it's there's one singular episode in a very recent season that was not the title of a song. And we'll get to that in a long time.
But. In 5 years.
Yeah. So, but yeah, as of right now, they're all song titles. So this episode was written by Shonda Rhimes, who developed the entire series and wrote a lot of it. She is no longer the showrunner on it, but she's still involved in like a producer. She's just not the, like the person running it. But she was until this 14th season. So she developed, wrote, and produced the pilot. She did not direct the pilot. The episode is directed by Peter Horton, who, I had no idea who that was. So I was like, I'm going to look him up. He was married to Michelle Pfeiffer in the 80s.
He was also an elephant in the Dr. Seuss book.
Maybe. that might be a different Horton.
Are you sure? Maybe they're related.
Maybe they might be brothers. So he did end up directing several more episodes throughout the series and, ultimately ended up being a producer and is still currently a producer. This episode aired March 27th, 2005. So a very long wow. time ago. It's wild. And I feel like you can kind of tell, I really, like halfway through the soundtrack, I was like, this is a very like mid-2000s soundtrack.
I feel like I was walking in on Jess watching like The OC or Laguna Beach or yeah. just any Gossip Girl, any movie or TV show from yes. that mid-2000s. They all have the exact same songs.
Yeah, you can definitely feel it. And it's interesting because with a lot of shows, when you revisit it, the clothes kind of give it away. But this, they're so primarily in scrubs. Like you don't really have that to be like, oh, that clothing is so dated, because like it's just scrubs. So there's not much to it. It aired with a 16.25 million person audience. So a lot of people watched it. They really hyped it up. It was Thursday night, still is Thursday night. So it has like a prime. It was, I think it's 9 o'clock. So it's like prime if you're watching it live, which then everyone was, cause they're really, I mean, I think TiVo existed, but there wasn't always these streaming services and there weren't like the recording DVRs as much. So if you're watching it, you're watching it Thursdays at 9. That was the place to be. It is called Grey's Anatomy, G-R-E-Y-S. That is after a book, Grey's Anatomy, G-R-A-Y-S. That is a very commonly used medical textbook from like the 1800s. But it's just like a huge almanac of medical jargon. So that is where it comes from.
There's also a Scrubs company that's called Grey's Academy, and yes. they're very popular.
Yes, it's true. Okay, so let's get in. We'll read the Netflix synopsis for this specific episode. Again, it's a pretty short little synopsis.
I'm not even reading the synopsis before the synapses.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm
because
not even
sometimes I feel like they'll be spoilery, and you don't want that.
I so don't
this
want...
This one is not, though.
I want to be shocked... I want to be shocked at every turn. That's all I want.
I want that for you because I remember being shocked many, many times when I watched this the first time.
I hope also for anyone out there listening, we are not in the same room. We are
no, we're not.
thousands of miles away. So if there is any delay, our apologies. But Kelsey, I do yearn for the time where we get to watch like a big episode together.
Yes.
So, but I'm going to have to like figure out how to fly down to Orlando for that.
Yeah. Or I'll come up to you. We'll do something. It'll be perfect.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So the episode synopsis is, first year intern Meredith Grey, the daughter of a famous surgeon, meets her fellow interns on her first day at Seattle Grace. Okay. So good. There's not really any spoilers because like, you know, the main spoiler is the sleeping with the boss. And that's well, not the, in there, so that's good.
The plot point for me that I'm glad I didn't read in that synopsis was that her mom was a big head honcho yeah. or like a big shot doctor. Because that actually was very, I was like, oh, okay, so this is probably going to be some big plot point. And then it's already referenced twice in the episode then.
Yeah, I think they do a good job with exposition as far as a pilot goes without being too like obnoxious. And they have her, obviously they have the narration. The voiceover, which is something that carries through the entire series. Every episode is going to have a narrator. It's typically Meredith. Occasionally it won't be, but for the most part it is her. So it's not always her talking to her mom. obviously that was like the big reveal at the end of the episode, was she was explaining all this to her mom, who you find out has early onset Alzheimer's. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
And it's, that obviously is going to be a huge plot point.
Very sad. And also I'm used to the narration thing because Scrubs, Zach Braff's character had all the narration as well.
Yeah. It's a good exposition point. And some episodes it's like really just at the beginning and end, and some it's kind of more woven through it. So it's a good use of that tool as far as exposition, because sometimes pilots it's like here's this person and here's this person, but I think this one is very cohesive. I think there's a reason it did well and got picked up. The first season is only 9 episodes because it was a mid-season replacement. That's why it aired in March, so they had ordered 9 episodes with the pilot, and so then here we are so many years later still getting new episodes later. It's like I think it's the longest running medical drama on television.
I'm a fan. I will say it's not hard to catch someone's attention within the first 5 seconds when you just wake up to right. And it's sex in the first 5 seconds.
Right. And that's, it's prime time evening television. That's what, that's what the people want. So
yeah. Now, disappointingly, it wasn't active sex. It was post sex.
It was morning after.
Yeah.
In fact, the exact note I took was, LOL, awkward babies morning after, because to me they look like babies because I've seen them currently, which is 18 years later. So
I'm not even gonna Google pictures of either.
I don't
want
you to. It's no, so funny. I'm not gonna now do going it. I'm back. It's like crazy how different they look. Plus, God knows you'll Google it and it'll just be like a huge line of everything that's happened in the entire series.
Right. So real quick, as we're going through, the first 3 notes that I have was, I like that it starts with smushing booties, mm-hmm. was the first thing I wrote. And then I said Seattle ? Because I didn't read the synopsis. And then Katherine Heigl with lots of exclamation points and
also
marks.
A baby.
Yes.
Doesn't she look like a little baby?
She does. So 2005, this would have been before.
This is really pre-everything for her. Yeah. This is like one of her, really most people on the show, it's their first major gig, to speak.
So then after that, where do we go now? What notes do you have? Tell me your stream of consciousness as you're rewatching this episode.
So for the first, I think, 4 seasons, they had like a full intro song with like a little, and I don't know if it just wasn't in this episode or if it's not on Netflix anymore. Maybe they didn't do it in the pilot and it'll be in the second episode, because I didn't watch the second episode because I want to try and keep it fresh when we record, but it was interesting to me that it wasn't there, so I'll have to see if it's in the next episode or if they've just completely removed it from Netflix, because it's like a good 30 seconds of a song and like all the names and pictures of scalpels, but also like sex. So
nice.
So give me your first impressions of Meredith and Derek.
So as soon as I saw them, that instant, I was like, okay, no, they for sure work together. Like somehow he's going to be her boss.
Yeah.
I'm very excited for when the twists do come, because I'm not easily shocked or mm-hmm. I'm not easily fooled by twists. The last twist that really got me in a movie was when King Candy was Turbo in Wreck-It Ralph.
Honestly, one of the greatest.
Like, okay, no one saw that coming. No one. So anyways, I knew that was coming. I will say, I think he's a handsome guy. I think that Meredith is attractive. I don't know how their relationship will get to come to fruition, especially because he's her boss. And I know that that's obviously like a huge HR thing, conflict of interest, whatever. So either he transfers away so they can be together, or he dies, or should they don't end up together. But I literally reference him as Dr. Handsome Pants, or Dr. Derek Handsome Pants in my notes.
He will get a nickname in the upcoming episodes. It's not that, but honestly, that's not that far off.
Oh, good, good.
So one thing that I feel like never truly gets addressed is their age difference. Because if you think of it, this is her first year out of med school. So she's probably like 28, maybe.
I would say that checks out, yeah.
And then he's, so you've got a year of internship, and then I think it's 2 years as an attending, or maybe it's 4 years as an attending.
Is
and
it then resident, then attending?
Oh, or? Sorry, yeah, resident, and then an attending. So I'm like, and he's, like, they'll get into it later, but he's had a career. Like, he's an established, successful neurosurgeon. So I'm like, they just never address it. And I'm just like, but how much older are you? Like, it's fine. I just always want to know how old these people are.
I would guess probably 10 to 12 years older.
Yeah. I always feel like it's around the 10 to 12. Sometimes I even think, I'm like, is it like 15? Like, I don't know. It's a lot. Okay. So first impression of George.
George is who? George is the, George is the O'Malley. Nervous guy?
Yeah. The nervous one.
Who totally breaks down in the middle of the appendectomy.
Yeah. That was rough. That's rough. It's so rough to rewatch.
Yeah. With him, I was really hoping that he was going to successfully do the appendectomy,
yeah,
and like him be some sort of like whiz, right?
Yeah.
But so I was a little bit hoping that he would do really well there. But I knew, I'm jumping ahead now, when he promised that patient that, I was like, dude, you just jinxed it. Like, he's for sure dead meat now. And I saw that one coming. But the thing that I didn't understand is why he's just sipping his fucking apple juice. Did we announce if we're going to be, are we going to be a clean podcast?
Oh yes, we curse here. there will be an explicit sign next to the episode title. Don't worry. I wrote that same thing. I wrote, saying I promise it'll be fine is basically saying I promise you're going to die. Like, it's the nail in the coffin. And
for sure.
Honestly, as I was rewatching this, cause I remember the plot line of him telling, a wife that everything was going to be fine and the guy dying, but I didn't realize it was within this pilot where they also did the appy thing. And I was like, they like are not like, they make it difficult to like him in this episode. And it's different, 'cause like you also have Alex Karev, who's that other doctor who's being a dick to the nurse. Like, obviously I'm not supposed to like him because he's being a huge dick. But then I'm like, you're making me not like George because he's just like annoying as fuck. Like, I don't understand, like, how am I supposed to, like, I truly was watching it thinking, like, were they writing this for me not to like this character? Because I don't remember disliking him this strongly, but I was like, this is annoying and difficult to watch. Like, it's painful.
I think the only, I left that episode literally only knowing two people's names, and that was Derek and Meredith. So I'm just assuming that...
Well, those are people that are important.
Yeah, but I'm sitting here thinking, like, okay, they clearly don't want me to... I was at the same mindset. Like, these writers do not want you to like anyone else in this episode except for these two people. I will say, whatever the Nazi doctor's name is...
Dr. Bailey,
I'm a fan because I'm getting a lot of Dr. Cox vibes.
I wrote, I would die for Dr. Bailey. And yes, a little bit that is clouded from the future, but I literally love her. I love her so much. She's incredible. She's truly one of, like, she's such a great actress.
Yeah. The line that really got me, I'm going to botch it. I'm paraphrasing. But when she said, this person better be so close to death the next time you page me that there's a toe tag on this person. I was like, wow, so savage.
And I was like, wow, she said that right in front of that man. Like, he heard her say that.
Yeah, she did not right leave the there.
Room. So on that note, there were a couple discrepancies that I kind of feel I want to address. So I will say there are multiple people they have on set, like as medical advisors, and then to make sure that the shots all look accurate, as far as if they show anything internal, like organs and stuff, and then the way they're pronouncing things, and like if a disease, like how it would work and how it would affect, those people are on set. However, I don't think they have like final say on what gets written, because in no world do doctors or surgeons put IVs in people. Like, they just don't. I don't know if you've ever had surgery, but like the doctor who's going to do the surgery comes in and is like, hi, I'm the doctor, see you in the OR, and leaves. Like, they don't do shit. Like, so much is done by the nursing staff. Like, it's kind of ridiculous now going back and watching it, especially now, like, my dad works in a hospital and occasionally he'll watch episodes with me and he's like, a surgeon would not be down in the ER taking patients. This is absurd. Like, they're not even just like doctors. Like, they are surgeons, which is even more of a, because when Derek was shaving the girl's head before surgery, I literally wrote, my ass would a brain surgeon be shaving the patient's head for surgery? Like, that would absolutely not happen. So I will say, like, I feel like I'm going to be more aware of those kinds of liberties taken by the show. But as far as most of, like, the medical jargon and, like, the scenarios, there is someone in the writer's room and on the set to kind of make sure it's accurate.
Yeah, it was definitely, so I would need to look at the rankings, and unfortunately I think Grey's Anatomy ranks very low on the list of medical accuracy. Coincidentally enough, Scrubs was very accurate. I think House was somewhere in between. I could be wrong. I hope that I am. But yeah, there were things like that I was like, okay, hold on a second. This guy's an established neurosurgeon. Like, yeah. He's not... What is he doing?
He's like being kind to people. Yeah. Like, that's just, I just doesn't really track. Okay, so let's get back into. So you love Dr. Bailey, Christina Yang, the character played by Sandra Oh. So the other intern that's not Katherine Heigl,
the one that they
like bond.
Yeah, I was a little bit kind of upset that Meredith told Christina, right?
Yes, Christina.
That Meredith told Christina that she slept with a doctor, because I was like, okay, they said literally the first time you're seeing all of these doctors in the same room that this is a competition. Like, she's for sure going to stab your back. I hope that I'm wrong, but, like, you know, you just don't tell that to people. And then in the episode, she's like, ah, oh, you're a dirty bitch because you got this surgery. I did all this hard work with you. We were a team, and then you didn't have my back. I thought we were women empowered, and it turns out you're just a backstabbing loser who sleeps with people. And I'm like, okay, hold on a second.
So I like, truly, first of all, Christina Yang is my favorite Grey's Anatomy character.
Okay.
No one's surprised.
Right. No.
I love the relationship, like their bond that they kind of established. She's like, watches Meredith throw up, and she's like, don't tell anyone. And Christina's like, I won't. And that, like, begins their bond. And yes, they work together. And the whole thing is, yes, it was shitty that Christina said that. It was obviously she was just doing it to get back at Meredith, because Meredith was like, oh, I'll let you have the surgery, and then she didn't. However, that whole speech that she gives right up until she says, I don't get picked for surgeries for sleeping with my boss, I really like, because she's like, you did something cutthroat, you just need to deal with it, don't come to me for absolution. I'm like, that's legit. Like, you can't be a shitty person and then go to the person you were shitty to and be like, oh, I'm still gonna do it, but, like, make me feel better about it. Like, I mean, she's right. Like, if you're gonna do it, just own it. Especially, like you're saying, they talk a lot about how surgery is, like, really cutthroat and really competitive.
Right.
So I think they're kind of just trying to beat that into you that, like, oh, this is, like, really intense, and it's like these relationships are, like, they're the people you're going to be with all the time, but they're also going to be, like, your friends, but also your competition. So, like, where do you stand?
It wasn't, so I don't think the term cutthroat really made sense for that, because it wasn't like she did anything behind her back. It was that she just didn't tell Derek that Christina should do the surgery. So, right,
which is fine, except she explicitly said that she would.
Right.
So, like, honestly, had it just played out that way, it's like, okay, whatever. But it's the fact that she said, like, oh, I'll let you have it. And then she was like, never mind.
I'm going to say nothing.
Yes, I'm just, and I was like, I truly remembered it as Derek just saying that and walking away. But the fact that they have him stand there for like 20 seconds and Meredith saying nothing, I'm like, that is kind of annoying. Like, why are you acting like you've forgotten the English language? Like, you can say something.
Yeah. Also, I'm asking the wrong person here. Do you listen to country music?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Naturally. Meredith gives me a little bit of like Leanne Rhyme vibes.
Yeah. I could see that for sure.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Also, I will say that this also gave me a little bit of House vibes, too, because when he was like, oh, this is a one in a million thing, and then the elevator opens back up, I was like, okay, that's some shit House would do.
I wrote like, drama, like, so many times. I wrote, like, oh, the drama. Oh, this is so dramatic. Oh, my gosh, the drama. Like, when Katie Bryce was having a seizure and Meredith was just standing there, and they're like, all the nurses are like, stat, and they're, like, yelling things, and, like, it's like flashing to Meredith's frozen face and then flashing back to Katie Bryce and then like flashing to her feet and everything's in like slow motion. I was like, I don't remember it always being this dramatic, but it's very dramatic.
It's a fine line to walk of being dramatic and being very cringy. And they walked it flawlessly.
I agree. And I feel like, again, as a pilot episode, they're finding their footing and finding, you know, who they are. And it definitely ends up, you know, they really find the voice and like the visual language of the show. It's very established and very consistent throughout the entirety of the time that Shonda Rhimes is the showrunner. So I think that goes into why it has been so successful, but it's always going to be dramatic. It's just not like necessarily that dramatic with like the, let's go see if she's one in a million or like in the whole thing on the elevator. It's just like the most.
I actually enjoyed that scene because it's just like, I imagine that that actually happens in a hospital where these people are talking to their attending, excuse me, and the elevator, like, they keep closing it, and then there's people around that are, like, visibly annoyed, because I think in other TV shows, they'd be like, oh, nothing's happening, we're all gonna ignore this conversation, and they're, like, starting to visibly get pissed off, and then he lets the door close, and then it closes completely, and then he gets out. Like, I feel like that would actually play out like that.
Because I also was like, this is a hospital. These are doctors. Someone could be dying. Get where they need to go.
I would like to think, though, that if someone actually was dying, they'd be like, hey, guys, like, I am going upstairs.
I have to go.
They're coding on floor 13. They need me.
That scene does have quite possibly my favorite joke line from the entire series. I won't say it's my favorite line because there are some pretty like poignant stuff later on, but like as far as my favorite joke that this series has ever made, I think about it all the time, is when Meredith runs up and goes, Dr. Shepherd, Katie Bryce does beauty pageants, and he said, I know, but we have to save her life anyways. That is so funny to me. I think about it all the time. That is hilarious.
It is a great line.
And he just delivers it so dryly, like nothing. So good.
It's funny because I didn't actually catch that as a joke line. I'm just assuming that there's no humor in this at all. So I wish that I think as I'm getting more used to the show, I'll allow myself to find that humor and laugh at it. But that one, I remember the actual line, but it glazed right off me.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
That's truly one of the, I think, just, it's just very witty because it's like dry and he just like off the cuff says it. I mean, Christina had a similar one where Meredith is talking, they're talking about it, and Meredith is like, do you know what her talent is? And Christina goes, they have talent.
See, the one for me was at the end, and I don't want to skip over all the way to the end, but
that's all right.
When
we'll get back.
They're like, I look better than you, and then Christina goes, that's not possible. I was like, okay, this is that's, classic. That's
I
nice.
Will say, I was like, okay, so their resolution is just, they're just both going to get over it. Like, they both just said things when they were angry, and now they're both just going to get... But I do like that Christina says, like, we don't have to do that thing where, like, I say something, and then you say something, and then we hug. And Meredith's like, oh, God, no. Like,
right.
I feel like that's a good encapsulation of their established relationship. And I wrote Christina and Meredith forever because I love their friendship.
And I hope that... I'm assuming now they're together. These are two people who don't have bombs in them and don't blow up.
I'm going to straight face not answer that question. Because
okay.
I don't want to give anything away.
Who's the person who was a dick to the nurse?
Alex. Alex Karev.
Alex Karev. That's his name. That's his name in the show.
Yes, that's his name in the show. His name in real life is Justin Chambers.
Okay, so Alex. Dr. Alex. Hate that guy so far.
Yeah, he's not looking great right off the bat.
No, but... I like the scene at the end, too, where they're like, does anyone know what would cause heat something or in a person that has syphilis? I don't know, whatever it is. And then he's like, anyone? And then Meredith is like, well, yeah, it could be the 5 W's or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then he's, you know, saying, all right, let's do that. You do what she says. And this isn't your patient anymore or some shit. And then he's like, you're a spitting image of your mother. And I was like, oh, wait, are we back in Harry Potter? What is happening right now? But that was a good scene. I actually really enjoyed that scene. That was my favorite. I think that was my favorite scene of the show there.
Good. I like that. I also, I will say the one good moment that I feel like they give George was when him and Meredith were talking, and Meredith is, he's like, oh, all my parents like tell everyone they know that I'm a superhero because I'm a surgeon. And Meredith is like, well, that would be better than me because my mom doesn't think I'm good enough to do this job. So that was, like, I think the only nice moment. I did laugh when he was like, I would make a great postal worker.
Yeah, unreliable. Like, come on. The other thing that I...
You go ahead.
No, you go ahead. You
okay. Go. What I found annoying, like when the whole thing with Burke happened, like George was not in that surgery where the guy died, the heart surgery. And Dr. Burke was like, I can't believe you. Like, this line, I was like, this is too dramatic. When he was like, the only person who can make a promise like that is God, and I haven't seen him holding a scalpel lately. I was like, all right, that's enough. But when he was like, you have to go tell her that she's a widow, that would not happen because George was not in that surgery. So if she has any questions, he can't answer them because he wasn't there. Like, the surgeon would do that. And also, I don't think they do it in a waiting room. I think, like, they take you to a private room and then tell you.
But yeah, imagine being in that waiting room going, oh gosh, that person just found out that their husband died.
Like, yeah.
Can you believe that? That's
like, no. because she scream cries, which is a, you know, it's like a normal reaction. Like, the actress did a good job. But I was like, everyone's just there. Like, she has no privacy to, like, mourn or grieve, which, like,
at all.
I think realistically, they take you and, like, they put you in a separate room to talk to the doctor if it goes poorly. Maybe if it goes well, I don't really know.
I think she also did, in the vein of that actress, I think she did a good job of, like, I think actually she was underdramatic for the show.
Right, right, because they tell him to leave, and then as he's walking away, she, like, breaks down, which yes. is, you know, I do like the way that she's just, like, leave.
It was very,
she's
tasteful,
like, thank you,
actually.
Go away. Yeah. We have a, they do a really great job with their guest actors, guest stars on the show. Shonda Rhimes, as the show went on and became more and more successful and well-known, she kind of, like, knows a lot of people, and she does a lot of, like, a great job getting well-known actors. So you get some pretty decent cameos throughout this.
Well, I'm going to have to compare them to Scrubs and Friends because, well, I shouldn't do that because Friends has the
best
cameos.
I wouldn't do Friends.
Yeah.
It's a very
but
different vibe.
Scrubs had Brendan Fraser, Michael J. Fox, trying to think who else. They had a couple really big ones, but anyways, I will say the other thing too that I liked is when Dr. Derek Handsome Pants was like, hey, don't, well, also I did laugh when she was like, did you pick me for this because we had sex together? And he's like, yes. And then I was like, oh, is there a punchline coming? And then he said no, you know.
Yeah,
obviously it's not. And I was like, okay, there we go, Dr. Derek.
I did say, so okay, I want to get back to the moment where they reveal that he is the doctor at the hospital.
Yeah.
The new doctor. Because it's basically like they're both new. That's the whole thing, is she's like, oh, the new attending. So it was like 11 minutes into the show when they did the reveal. And she goes, and I was just like, I wrote down immediate sexual harassment. Like, unprofessional.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
And I was like, God, I didn't like... I feel like I'm watching this now. I'm like being more negative about it, but I'm like, that is the worst way to handle this situation, Derek. Like, damn, you need to go to HR. But because she's trying to be professional and she's like, it is what it is. Let's move past it. And he's like, ooh, sexy eyes, nudity, boobies. So I was like, I don't love this. But yeah, I do think there are moments later on where he can't, like, the one you're talking about, he handles it better and he gives her like a good pep talk. And I did think they have a nice moment after the surgery when she's like, you know, you read about it, you practice on cadavers, but then you do it for real. And she's like, I don't know why anyone would do drugs because this is such a high, or whatever the line is. But they do have nice moments. But I was really like, that first moment when she's trying to, like, be professional because she's probably terrified that she's ultimately just destroyed her own career before she even started her job. And he's just making sex jokes. I was like, okay, let's calm down.
Yeah, definitely not a particular joke or scene that ages well, right? Especially not in today's. Like that
right,
going right now, the whole internet would be like, cancel Derek.
Yeah, truly. So, yeah, and then I think the reveal about the mom... like, I will say I made a point, because I knew that she was talking to her mom. So I made a point to imagine, like, those words, not as narration, but, like, to her mom. So I will say, kind of just, like, if you were to rewatch the episode, like, it does kind of hit different. You're like, oh, this is kind of a bummer. Because she's like, oh, I really like everyone. And, like, I think I'm going to do a good job. She's, like, convincing her mom, who doesn't even know who she is. So it's, like, really, really quite sad. And yeah, her mom is, obviously they do a good job explaining it. She's won multiple major medical awards. She basically established a method, the Gray method, which I want to say is possibly about like a pancreas or the liver or kidney. Oh, I'm doing a bad job, but whatever.
We'll find
it was,
out later on, I'm assuming.
Yeah, they'll definitely talk about it in more depth.
The as thing we get on. The line for me, so I knew right away when she was sitting down, I was like, okay, this is her mom. This is, got it, totally.
Yeah.
Right away. The line for me that stood out that really, I was like, fuck, that's sad, is when she goes, I used to be a doctor, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm like, imagine being so well known, so critically acclaimed, doing like transforming the medical field for whatever reason, right? Any field. Imagine my job, your job, you transform something.
Yeah.
And then to not even remember that you did it.
Yeah, that's like, it's your hard. Life's and work. Also, like, she's young. Like, she is not.
She did not
person.
Look old. No.
No. I think she might is supposed to be like mid to late 50s, maybe. Like, she is. It's, I mean, they talk a lot about that it's early onset. Like, it's.
That didn't seem early onset. Can you forget that much when it's early onset like that?
I think so. And I mean, I think they go through, you know, anyone has like sometimes that they're lucid and sometimes that they're not. And so it just like goes back and forth. But is it this episode where she says, you remind me of my daughter? Did I just spoil that?
Yes. No. And then she says, okay. I am your daughter.
Yeah. It's that, yeah. That for me is like, what is like so sad. Cause like, I just imagine like having to go through that with like, a close relative who like just doesn't even recognize you anymore. Like, ugh, it's heartbreaking.
Yeah. I like that she also decided to keep the house, her mom's house.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And, she's going to get some roommates. So.
Oh, Dr.
Who will
Derek
that be?
Handsome Pants?
I wonder, well.
Dr.
Yeah, that's,
Hot
that's
Catherine
not an HR
Heigl.
Issue. Okay, so let's get into some predictions. So tell me what you think will happen. You can do overall. You can just do coming up soon. You can do Meredith and Derek specific or other people specific. Just let me know what you think is going to happen.
So I imagine that, what is the guy who messed up in the surgery and promised?
George O'Malley.
George O'Malley. I assume that it's going to go one of two ways. Either he's not very long on the show and he sucks and he gets fired or quits and goes and lives his dream as a postal worker, or he learns something, has an epiphany, and the tough love from that one attending surgeon turns
Dr.
him around. Dr. Burke. I imagine that very shortly there's going to be a mentor-mentee relationship between Dr. Bailey and Dr. Gray. I assume that Dr. Christina,
Christina Yang.
Dr. Yang, I'm sure will be in that because women empowerment. And then I would assume that Catherine Heigl blows up because there's a bomb in her butt.
Okay. We'll see how those predictions play out.
Oh, and that one asshole doctor to the nurse, he's for sure not. He's not going to make it past this season. He's done after season one.
Okay. Interesting predictions. We'll have to. I look forward to coming back and seeing if you were completely correct about everything you just said or the opposite. Or somewhere in the middle. Who knows?
Nobody. I don't. You
Except
know.
Me.
You do.
I do. If you see Carmen walking down the street, please don't spoil Grey's Anatomy for him.
What would be funnier? Actually not watching these episodes live as they happen, or if I just watch the premiere that happens on the 30th and try to figure out everything
to,
that happens
like, watch
in between.
Nothing else. And like you would be like, I will say this most recent season was rough because they did COVID. Like they were like, they just wrote it into the show. And I think it was important and really well done because I think it's important for people to see what healthcare workers are going through right now because of it. But it was really hard because it became a lot less fictional in a lot of ways. I was like, no, this is real. This is what people are doing on a daily basis. And it was very difficult for me to watch.
Would you say that it was a hard day's night?
It was a hard day's night. Okay, so now we're going to get into our ratings. So I think, and this is still under construction potentially, but we're going to rate every episode at the end of it. So we're going to do a 5-tier rating system. So it'll be 1 through 5, 5 being the best, 1 being the worst. But our system is going to be med student, intern, resident, fellow, attending. So those are our 5 options. So like if you think an episode is terrible and you don't want it, then it would be a med student. And if you think it's the best ever and the series cannot exist without it, it would be an attending episode. And then there's everything in the middle. So that's as of right now what we're going to do. That might change as we move forward, but that's what we're going to do today. So obviously for me, it's the pilot. It's important. I think they, knowing how everything goes, I think they do a very good job introducing the people and the show. So I would have to say this is definitely an attending episode.
For me, this is... Okay, so med student,
intern,
resident,
fellow,
attending.
Attending.
So this for me is a resident. I'm giving this a 3 out of 5.
So you're right in the middle on this.
Yes.
One.
Okay. So I liked it more than I thought I would. I'm not going to lie, but here's the thing for all of you listeners out there. I already told Kelsey that no matter what, if I hate it, I'm in it because I'm committed.
Yeah,
now.
We're done.
But no, I enjoyed it more than I thought I would. I appreciated that I was able to call back kind of on my love for Scrubs and House, because I've seen every episode of Scrubs easily 6 times, every episode. Big fan. And this gave me a lot of similarities. I'm excited to see what happens. I enjoyed the narration more than I thought I would. I initially thought her voice was a little bit annoying, but I grew to enjoy it, and I'm excited to see where things go. So yeah, I'm optimistic. I was pleasantly surprised. I'm giving this one a resident. Nope.
I love it.
Yes, resident's number 3.
Yeah,
yes, resident.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, I'm excited to see to journey through this with you. And yeah, I look forward. So we'll see you guys next time. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Hi, everybody. It's Andy and James here from your next favorite podcast, No Such Thing as a Fish.
That's right. We do fun facts.
Yes, we do. James, give me a fact.
Did you know that there is an extinct bandicoot whose official scientific name is Crash Bandicoot?
Lovely. I didn't know that. Did you know, James, that Upper Egypt is technically below Lower Egypt?
Incredible. Absolutely amazing. I would love to hear more about that.
Well, all you have to do is go and listen to No Such Thing as a Fish.
Where will I find it?
Oh, like, all over.
Okay, bye.
Bye.